Episode 296 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. It's Monday, and if you're here for the first time, I'd like to thank you for stopping by and congratulate you on your impeccable timing. Today, we're going to begin reading one of my favorite books of the Bible, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I hope you decide to make this a daily part of your podcast listening, because every Monday through Friday, we read two or three chapters, and then I give a few brief thoughts about the day's reading. Each episode is about 10 minutes or so, sometimes a couple of minutes shorter, sometimes a couple of minutes longer, but I shoot for an average of 10 minutes. We're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament, track two is reading through the New Testament, and the third is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. If you're one who's been listening to the podcast for a while, you already know how much I appreciate you. Thanks for your patience as I give the new folks a short orientation. Whether a new listener or old, thanks for being here today, which is a Track 3 day. As I said a minute ago, we're going to begin the book of Job today, and we'll read the first chapter. Our translation this week is the New King James Version. Let's talk for just a minute about the background of the book of Job, which is unique. There is no other book like it in the Bible, but we do know that it belongs here, and it is a factual book because, one, it's quoted in other parts of Scripture, namely James 5:11 and 1 Corinthians 3:19, among other places, and, two, Ezekiel names Job along with Noah and Daniel in Ezekiel 14:14. Job is a very ancient book. We don't know when it was written or who wrote it. Some clues do exist in the text that hint that Job lived around the same time as Isaac and Jacob, though he was not a part of the Abrahamic lineage. It's thought that he may have been a brother of Abraham, but of course that still does not make him an heir of the promise that God made to Abraham and his descendants. There is much that we as Christians can get out of the book, and I hope to bring out some of the nuggets of goodness to you as we read through it over the next few weeks. As I have had my own near Job-like chapters in my own life, and I have a good friend who had a very Job-like chapter in his life, this book has been an invaluable encouragement to me in some very difficult times. I will be eternally grateful to God for giving us this book. Okay, enough of the preamble. Let's begin. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away from us, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. And so we've been introduced to one of the Bible's greatest figures. I love this man. What a great man of integrity and faith. He's introduced to us in the first verse as a man who was, quote, "blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil," unquote. My goodness, what a testimony. This was a good man. But not only was he a good man, he was a financially successful man too. He was the richest man around, but he didn't allow his riches to draw him away from God, as often happens with people. Job had 10 grown children who seemed to have loved and respected him. And lastly, Job was a pious man who was careful to pray for himself and his kids, and he made burnt offerings in case any had sinned. This is a man who truly loved and feared God. And then there's Satan. Now, I generally am loath to use his name because I don't think he deserves to have his name spoken very often. But his name is used in this book, so I will use it as we discuss what we have read. It's interesting that Satan is allowed access to God, isn't it? But remember, Satan was an angel before he rebelled and was expelled from heaven. So somehow, and for whatever reason, God still allows him at least occasional access. And here in chapter 1, Satan does what he always does. He accuses one of God's believers, Job in this case, of sin. The sin of hypocrisy. How? Well, when God brings Job to Satan's attention as being the best of the best, Satan says, "Well, that's only because you've given him all this stuff. Take it all away and he'll curse you to your face. He doesn't love you. He loves the stuff you've given him." So, here's the angle that Satan is working. God said that Job was the finest man alive. If he, Satan, can prove that God is wrong, if he can show that Job is a hypocrite, that'll mean that there was not one faithful man alive and that there was no one who truly loved God. And then Satan would be king over all mankind. God then allows Satan to try Job's sincerity by attacking him. And there are reasons that he did so. 1. For his own glory. 2. For Job's honor. 3. To show God's protection. And 4. As an encouragement to God's afflicted people for the rest of history. I mentioned at the top of today's episode that it helped me when I went through a near Job experience in my life. I won't take the time today to tell the story, but as we go along in the coming weeks, I'll try to squeeze it in. From personal experience, I know that this is one reason why God allowed Satan to attack Job. I'm sure that millions of people down through the ages have found the faith and courage to stand firm because of the book of Job. One last thing before we say goodbye today. We see from this that Satan is still under God's authority. God put a limit on what Satan could do to Job. He told Satan, "Touch his things, but don't touch his body." There are people who think that God and Satan are equals in terms of power or authority, that they're in a battle that sort of seesaws back and forth as to who's ahead. They think that it's possible that perhaps evil can win, that the final chapter has yet to be written. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. And this little detail here in Job chapter 1 confirms that Satan is not equal with God. He has to conform to the limits that God puts on him. The final chapter has been written. God wins. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus made that very clear. That was the ultimate victory, and one has only to read the book of Revelation to see what Satan's ultimate destiny is. Tomorrow we'll be back in 1 Samuel and see how Saul and David get on after David's dispatching of Goliath. If you'd like to leave a comment on today's episode, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Just look for episode number 296. Or you can tweet me at _SteveWeb_. And if you'd put hashtag LifespringMedia in there, it'll help me out. Be sure to subscribe to the Lifespring Family Audio Bible in your favorite podcast app, iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever. This is a daily Monday through Friday show, and I hope you'll not want to miss an episode. By subscribing every Monday through Friday, you'll automatically get the new episode. So, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.